encourage you to be praying for our community. We should be praying at all times. We had some pretty bad weather that came through here yesterday. And just continue to pray. God protect us from these things that come our way. And God can do that. He really can. I want to speak to you this morning about the song that we sang, the last song that they sang here. And you might have been listening to that song and you say, I don't quite get it all. Well, we're going to sing it again at the very end, and I just want to help you to get it all of what that's really saying. This is how we fight our battles. You may think that you're surrounded, but you're surrounded by God. And if you have your Bibles, you can kind of turn. We're not going to read this verse right away, but we will read it. 2 Chronicles 20, 10 to 22. So kind of put your finger in there, and we'll read that in a few moments. But that's where we're going to start. But we've got a few things I want to say before we actually read the scripture and get more into the sermon. I kind of want to do my introduction first and then the passage and just to mess you up a little bit, I guess. But anyway, I want to share with you about how we fight our battles in life and whether they be physical battles or spiritual battles. And this psalm that you just heard a little while ago, it's kind of a little song. I don't even know if you'd call it a song, because it's kind of like a spontaneous song that arose. And Michael Smith actually recorded it, but it's also been recorded many times on YouTube. Very powerful. I encourage you to go on YouTube and look for that song, Surround It, or This Is How You Fight Your Battles. Either one will get you to that spot. But anyway, this is a powerful, spontaneous song that has touched many, many people. As I said earlier, we first heard that song at Bethel. And now if you have Sirius radio, you'll hear it on the Sirius radio or any Christian station right now. And Michael Smith is actually singing this song. Now, many refer to that the key of this song is praise. This is how we fight our battle. And what they're referring to is the power of praise. And it kind of takes a spiritual approach to battle of that which is coming against us. And Michael Smith, in his recording, he actually refers to the passage of scripture where that kind of some of that song came from. And it's found in Isaiah 61:3 that says, He had to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And see, friends, that's really true. Praise is definitely one of the major ways that we can fight our battles. It may not seem logical to you in the natural, because we like to fight our battles in the physical. But God is telling us that there's a spiritual role to play in every battle. And so we need to realize that. And that there are things spiritually we can do to position ourselves to fight our battles, that we might win those battles spiritually and physically. Often when we deal with the spiritual, then the physical starts to open up, that we can then deal with it and the physical and be victorious. Praise is one of the most, one of those spiritual activities that really does alter the physical. And it doesn't just alter spiritual, it alters physical as well. It helps us to fight our battles. And that's kind of one of the reasons why that song ended up being recorded. But I want to add to you some truths this morning that we as Christians can use, that when you hear that song, that will might trigger some other thoughts in your minds that we as Christians can use to fight our battles. Other things that should come to our minds as we listen or sing this song of This Is How We Fight Our Battles. And I want to use that text of scripture now that you had your finger in there, hopefully still, from 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And it's a story of King Jehoshaphat facing a mighty battle where he was vastly outnumbered by the other armies and all the odds were against him. And what he does here is really giving us a kind of a mandate of how we should fight our battle. So if you have your finger there, open up there to 2 Chronicles 20. I'm going to start reading at verse 10. And now see what the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir are doing. You would not let our ancestors invade those nations when Israel left Egypt. So they went around them and did not destroy them. Now see how they reward us, for they have come to throw us out of the land, which you gave us as an inheritance. O God, our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for help. As all the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, wives, and children, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there. His name was Jeziel, son of Zechariah, son of a son, a Levite, a descendant of Asherah. And he said, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march out against them. You will find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jericho. But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. And then King Jehoshaphat, he bowed low with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. And then the Levites from the clans of Korath and Korah stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout. Early the next morning, the armies of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And on the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed. After consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. And this is what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. And at the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. And as you read on this story, they were totally defeated, and all Israel had to do was walk in and take the plunder. So this morning, I want to talk about this is how we fight our battles. It really is. There's some really good truths that are found in this portion of Scripture, and even in this song, that will encourage us to have faith as we face the battles of life that come against us. And as we read this story, we see that one of the first things that we see, just as is stated in the song, that we fight our battles through praise. We fight our battles on a spiritual plane that then affects the physical plane. We start by offering our praise to God. We start by stirring ourselves up to sing a song of praise. It's just so amazing how choosing to focus on praise can change how we feel about any battle, whether it's a physical battle or whether it's a spiritual battle. See, praise changes things. Praise is one of the best atmosphere changers that is out there. If you're sensing that your atmosphere around you is not a good atmosphere, then start praising. Start praising. Put some praise music on. You know, there's a lot of power in music, and we recognize the power of music. Well, you need to put on some music that's going to uplift you. Put on some praise music. Even in literal battles throughout history, praise along with music has been used in battle to inspire and to create fear in the enemy. And you can think about just about every culture in the world as they would go out to battle. They used to do some. Some used to play a drum. Some used to start blowing a horn. Israel, often a shofar. Sometimes they would begin to sing. Many of you would know about the bagpipes and how the bagpipes. And a lot of people, you know, I love the bagpipes, but I know there's a lot of people that don't like the bagpipes. They find them very annoying. Well, if you were in battle and all of a sudden you heard multiple bagpipes starting to play, you knew that the battle was going to come to you right now. And so what did it do? It helped create an atmosphere of hope and encouragement for those who are marching out, but it also at the same time created an atmosphere of fear and worry to those where they knew that music was going to be coming to them, that the battle was about to proceed. Praise changes things, even in the physical, and we see that being used even in war. I don't know if they still are doing that today, but in a lot of, when we look at World War II, often they heard praise change the atmosphere. It really does. So here in this text, we see Jehoshaphat, well, he used singers to praise the Lord, and they walked ahead of the army. 2 Chronicles 20, 21, 22. And he said, after consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army. Just like we did that even in World War II, the bagpipers were ahead of the soldiers. They were walking out ahead of them, singing unto the Lord, praising him for his holy splendor. And this is what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord, his faithful love endures forever. And at the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. Interesting, as you look at that, you go back a couple of verses, and we see in verse 19, the Levites are also praising the Lord, and they give a mighty shout. How often that has been used in our earthly battles in our world, where before they'd march out, they would give a shout. And that shout would shake the ground sometimes and cause fear in that other army that they were going to be approaching. 2 Chronicles 20:19, the Levites from the clans of Korath and Korah stood to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a loud shout. Praise makes a huge difference and encourages the people of God, and it causes fear, confusion in their enemies. At the very moment that the people of Israel began to praise the Lord, in verses 21, 22, it tells us that the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir started fighting among themselves. Immediately, praise brought confusion in the enemy's camp. And this is what praise does to the enemy or our soul as well. It brings confusion and fear into the enemy's camp, where the enemy begins to fight among themselves. And what really takes place here is when you praise, is that that fear that maybe you had gets transferred to them. That's right. It gets transferred to them, to the enemy. You get encouraged and strengthened and get filled with courage. Well, the opposite happens for them. Courage starts to leave. Confusion starts to come in the enemy's camp. So praise is a pill we take for the spirit of heaviness, to make it go away. Praise is a formula that invites the presence of God to come into a situation and bring us peace. And so if you're finding yourself in a battle right now, get your praise on. Shout it out. Sing it out. Let it be audible. It needs to be audible. And declare your praise to God, that God is good. His love endures forever. He is a faithful God. Surprise the enemy. Turn things around. Instead of being discouraged and complaining and whining, start praising the Lord. Start praising him. Start lifting up your voice to God. Start playing that music good and loud and start declaring the goodness of God. Then watch that enemy start to tremble. Watch that enemy start, confusion start happening among them. That's how you fight your battles. We praise, we encourage the spirit of heaviness, we exchange the spirit of heaviness for a garment of praise. It might seem so simple, but it's powerful. A proven exercise in biblical battles and other historical battles. Even amongst the Jewish people, as you see in the Bible, where they blow the shofar, and some would call it a musical instrument, some just call it an instrument that is calls people to attention. But what they tell us, the Jewish people believe, that when you blow the shofar, it causes confusion in the enemy. Just like as we praise, it causes confusion to the enemy. So make your noises. Make it loud. You tell that enemy that you're not going to listen to him, and you override his thoughts with God's thoughts, and you start praising him. This is how we fight our battles. We praise. We praise. Don't underestimate the power of praise. It's truly a way to fight our battles. We fight our battles through praise. Now, secondly, we fight our battles, as we read this story of Jehoshaphat, through prayer. Prayer is another important element in winning our battles. King Jehoshaphat, he recognized the scriptures and the promises of God, that God had included an invitation to say, come before me, call on me. When you're going through those battles, when you're going through things that cause fear in your life, call on me. Listen to what he says in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 9, and then also verse 12. They said, whenever we are faced with any calamity, such as war, plague, or famine, we can come and stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored. We can cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us and rescue us. Friends, that's just like yesterday when you had those tornado watch going on. Start praying. Start calling on God and saying, Lord, it says in your word that if there's a calamity that might be coming our way, that if we will pray, that you will hear, you will respond, and you will save us. We need to be doing that more. Then verse 12, oh God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but we're looking to you for help. That's what God wants to see from us. Friends, as we fight our battles, we need to remember the power of prayer. Remember that God is inviting us to pray. He's inviting us to call on him in our times of calamity, in our times of stress, in our times of disaster. He's inviting us to call on him, whether it be a war, whether it be a plague, whether it be a disaster, whether it be a disease or viruses, famine, trouble, any kind. He says, call on me. We're to call on God, especially when we're at that place where God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what else I can do. And why should we bother to pray? God answers prayers. God hears our prayers. God cares about us. He is a God who rescues and saves. He is a God that brings victory our way. He is a God who answers prayers. But he waits for us to ask. This is what Israel did back in 1 Chronicles 5:20. As they were entering into the promised land, they found that God would answer their prayers, that before they went out to battle, they would begin to pray. And as they would begin to pray, they realized something. God started to intervene on behalf of them. 1 Chronicles 5:20. They cried out to God during the battle, and he answered their prayer because they trusted in him. And so the Hagarites and all their allies were defeated. So in our battles, we need to get on our knees. We need to pray, because prayer changes things. Praise changes things. Prayers will bring the breakthroughs that we need. Prayer brings deliverance, and prayer brings God to the rescue. But you got to pray. You got to pray to get an answer. You got to call on God for his intervention. The Bible clearly tells us you have not because you're not asking. And often that's who we are sometimes. We're not praying enough. We're not asking God for his intervention. We're not asking God to help us in our battles. Instead, we rather grumble and complain and get upset and depressed and discouraged. And he says, begin to pray. Begin to call on me. Because, you know, friends, God does want to help. How do you fight your battles? You pray. You pray. You call on God, just as the people here did in verse 13. They gathered before their God, not just the husband, but he gathered there with his spouse. He gathered there with his children, their families, and they cried out to God. We fight our battles through prayer. Thirdly, we fight our battles through believing. We fight our battles by believing in God and professing our belief in God. Sometimes it's not enough just to pray and praise. You got to also stand up and say, God, I believe your word. I believe that you're going to do something about this. 2 Chronicles 20:20. Early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And on the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed. Again, another important principle in fighting our battles. We got to believe in God. Just having a head knowledge doesn't do it, friend. You got to get to that place where you really, really, really believe in God. You got to get God in your heart. You need to open up your heart to God. A lot of people have an understanding that, yes, there's a God, but do you know that God? And you get to know that God by welcoming him to come into your life, come into your heart, not just into your brain and your thoughts, but to come right into your heart. And you can do that even now as this service is on. You can just say, Jesus, I do believe, but I've never welcomed you into my life. And you can just do that even as we're preaching here and continuing on this sermon. But when you really believe, you know that you know God's real. You know that you know that you're placing your faith in the right place. You know that you're welcoming him, and as you welcome him and cry out to him, that he is indeed going to answer. So maybe as we fight our battles, one of the questions we need to ask ourselves is, do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord? Do you believe that God sent his only begotten Son into this world, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life? Do you believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or even think? Friends, we need to start believing him, instead of believing the lies that the enemy keeps throwing our ways, in that, oh, God's not going to hear you. God's not going to answer you. God can't help you. You're all alone, and you're not going to be successful. You're going to end up in a disaster. No, you believe. This is what the Lord says. See, we need to go beyond praying. We need to go beyond praising, and we need to get that place where we start to believe. Believe God for the answer. Expect God to intervene. And if you've been a person that has received a prophetic word that was spoken over you, like in this passage, you need to believe that it's going to take place, that it's going to happen. Many times prophetic words are spoken over to us, and we kind of say, oh, that would be nice. And that's kind of where we leave it, instead of starting to pray into it and believe that, yeah, God's going to do this. We as a church, we have had many prophetic words spoken over this church. Don't give up on them. Don't throw them out. Believe in your God and believe in the words of deliverance that have been spoken over you. How do you fight your battles? Believe in God. He's able. He's able. I like some of these verses here. Psalm 24:8. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, invincible in battle. Psalm 55:16-18. But I will call on God, and the Lord will rescue me. Morning, noon, and night, I cry out in my distress, and the Lord hears my voice. He ransoms me. He keeps me safe from the battle waged against me, though many still oppose me. We need to believe in God. Believe in the scriptures. Believe in the words that have been spoken over your life. God is still able. He is a big God. He is mighty in battle. Your God is a great and awesome God. Believe in him. This is how we fight our battles. Fourthly, we fight our battles through worship. We worship the Most High God. We worship and we express our faith in God, who heals, who saves, who delivers us and helps us to fight and win our battles. When you get into that place where you're in a battle, you don't walk away from God. You don't turn away from God. Rather, you turn to God and you acknowledge God, that he might come and be welcomed into your battle. What did King Jehoshaphat do before battle and after battle? 2 Chronicles 20:18 first. Then King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. Then after the battle was done, they took all the spoils. What do you see him doing? Verse 28. And they marched into Jerusalem to the music of harps, lyres, and trumpets, and they proceeded to the temple of the Lord. Before battle and after battle, you need to worship the Lord, acknowledging the Lord for who he is and what he has done. We're to honor our God with our worship, with our praise, with our thanksgiving, with our offerings. Honoring God and worship is important before the battle and after the battle. It's interesting that even in regards to when we look at worship, that our offerings that we just did a little while ago, that's part of worship. An offering is an act of worship to God. But it's important to do that even in the midst of our battles. Please note what Abraham did when he went and won the battle, rescuing his son, his nephew Lot. He worshiped the Lord and gave a tenth of a tithe, or gave that tithe, that tenth of that plunder to Melchizedek. Hebrews 7:4, it says, consider then how great this Melchizedek was, even Abraham, the great patriarch of faith of Israel, recognized this by giving him a tenth of what he had taken in battle. When you fight your battles, you worship. You worship the Lord. You worship him before the battle, and you worship him after the battle. You acknowledge him, that he is God, and that you allow that faith to arise, and courage to arise, and expectation to arise, because you serve a big God. And worship will include everything that we do to honor God, whether that be praise, whether that be worship, whether that be thanksgiving, whether that be offerings, whether it be our service to God. It's very important in fighting our battles. Keep worshiping. Keep honoring the Lord, showing your appreciation and your love for him. That's how we fight our battles, with worship. And then lastly, we fight our battles by giving them to God. We do everything we can in the physical and the spiritual, and then it becomes a time to stand and see what God will do and to wait for further instructions. We praise, we pray, we believe, we worship. And as we do that, friends, God has always something to say about our battle. We need to learn to get to that place where we wait on him and listen for the word of the Lord in the midst of your battle. And that's what King Jehoshaphat did, and the people, verses 15 to 17 of 2 Chronicles 20. He said, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, listen, King Jehoshaphat, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow march out against them. You will find them coming up to the land of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens in the wilderness of Jeriel, but you will not even need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. There are some very powerful statements here that are made to us of what happens when we give our battle to the Lord. First of all, when you give that battle to God, it tells us that God addresses something that's inside of us, our fears, our discouragement. What does he say? He says, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. You are not alone in this battle. And I know that many times in our battles, we do feel alone. We do get discouraged. And sometimes fear begins to rise and begins to consume us. But God says, give me your battle. Give me your battle. And as you give him that battle, there's an impartation that happens where courage begins to grow up inside of you. Faith begins to grow. Peace begins to grow. Strength begins to grow inside of you. Give your battle to God. Do not be discouraged. Do not fear, for the Lord thy God is with you. That's what he wants you to know. So as you give that battle, that's when that starts to happen. Fear starts to go. Discouragement starts to go. Those things start to flee from you when you get in touch with your heavenly God. And secondly, when you give the battle to God, an awareness of the presence of God begins to grow. You start to realize that the Lord is really with you. He's not just with you, but he's all around you. Just like in that song, that when you feel like you're surrounded, you need to realize that you're surrounded by God. He surrounds you. You can think of Elisha when he was talking to his servant, and when the enemy had gathered all around them. And he said to the prophet, we're surrounded. And the prophet said to him, Lord, may your eyes, let his eyes be open. And as his eyes were open, he saw a heavenly host all around them. They were surrounded. They were surrounded. And God wants you to know, you're surrounded. He's got you. He's got you. You're surrounded. Thirdly, when you give the battle to the Lord, you realize that it's his battle, and it was his battle all along. See, God is in control. There are some things that God desires to happen and take place that we're not aware of. We don't realize, we're just kind of complaining about what's happening to us. We're not realizing that God has something that he wants to do and accomplish. And sometimes you have to go through a battle for that to be accomplished in your life. And he's telling us, this battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. He's got it. He will fight for you. He will fight for you. And he has a plan that is at work that's going to end up in your favor. It may not look that way right now, but it's going to end up in your favor. Because that battle, it's not yours, it's his. It's God's. For when you give the battle to the Lord, you need to realize that after you've done your part of praise and of prayer and believing and worship, you're to stand. You're to stand. You're to take that position to be still and know that he's God. He will fight for you. He will go before you. He will bring you the victory. This battle is not yours, it's God's. Allow him to take over the battle. That's that place where faith starts coming in and we gotta step back and now stand and say, okay, I'm gonna wait for the deliverance of the Lord. I've done what I'm supposed to do. Now God's about to do what he's going to do. I like some of those words that have been of faith that are expressed throughout the Bible through some great battles where God's people were outnumbered. Think way back into Judges 4:14, Deborah and Barak against the Midianites. And she speaks these words, get ready, this is the day of the Lord. This is the day the Lord will give you victory over Sisera. For the Lord is marching ahead of you. You need to realize that not only is he all around you, he's also way ahead of you. Even in that battle, he's way ahead of you with strategies that are going to help you to come through and to be victorious. Or the story of Jonathan as he was stepping out to attack the Philistines, and all he had was his armor bearer and one sword. 1 Samuel 14:6 says, let's go across to the outpost of those pagans. Jonathan said to his armor bearer, perhaps the Lord will help us. For nothing can hinder the Lord. He can win a battle, whether he has many warriors or only a few. That's our God. He can win the battle whether we look outnumbered or not, whether we only have a few people or whether we have a great host with us. He's still the one that can win the battle. Or the story that we're familiar with of David and Goliath. 1 Samuel 17:47. And David speaking these words and said, and everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he's going to give it to us. And he was speaking that to that giant that was so powerful, they say probably at least 9'3", at least that tall, to a little boy with a sling. Didn't look like there was much of a chance. But that little boy spoke to that great man and said, this is God's battle. This is God's battle. We need to say that too to the enemy. You just point your finger right at him and say, this is the Lord's battle. This is the Lord's battle. I remind you, this is the Lord's battle. See, friends, the Lord is wanting to remind us today, the battle is the Lord's. He is with us. And if we have done what we're supposed to do, God's going to do what he's supposed to do. Stand back, be still, and watch the deliverance of the Lord. So we're going to ask our musicians, they would come back to sing that song here this morning. This is how we fight our battles. And as you think about that song, I want to see faith rise up within each one of us. That God is able to help us to win that battle. And as we look at that, we're going to win our battles by giving them to God. We're going to win our battles by worshiping our God. We're going to win our battles by believing in God. We're going to win our battles by praying to God. We're going to win our battles by praising our God. You got a spirit of heaviness this morning? Has the enemy got you down and discouraged? And let's point at him and say, this is the Lord's battle. I'm going to start praising. You're in trouble. You're in trouble because I'm going to start praising you. And so as we close this service, I'm going to ask our prayer team if they would just come to the front and come right up to the stage area. If you're wanting prayer, I want to encourage you just to come to them. But I also want to just open this up that if you want to just come up here for whatever battle you may be facing, maybe you don't need prayer, but you're saying, I need to do some praising. I need to do some shouting. I need to be telling that enemy that, hey, I'm talking to God now. You're in trouble. I'm talking God. This is God's going to start taking over my battle. But I'm going to worship. I'm going to praise. I'm going to serve. I'm going to do those things he's calling me to do. I'm going to pray and call on him. But praise, that's the big one. As soon as they started to praise, what happened? Immediately, confusion came into the camp of the enemy. So that's what you need to do. Maybe the enemy has been winning against you. Then start praising. And then watch confusion start coming into the enemy, where the enemy doesn't know what to do anymore, and they start fighting amongst themselves. This is how we fight our battles. That when you hear this song again, maybe you're listening on the radio, or maybe you've downloaded on your phone, start thinking about all these things. Yeah, this is how I'm going to win my battles. Praise is just one of them, but you include the other ones as well. Let us stand as we close. If you want to come up to the front, feel free to do that. If you want prayer, I'm just going to ask prayer team to be right at the front, and you ask you to go to them if you want prayer. Otherwise, we're just going to assume that you're just up here to praise and just to say, I'm going to win this battle. I'm going to win this battle. And as we sing that song, when they sing it through a few times, if you're here today and you have to go, you are free to go. We're very thankful that you came today. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his favor, his face to shine upon you. May he be with you and touch you. But this is the day where we walk out of here with victory. With victory. It's the Lord's battle. Amen. Bless you. Thank you for coming today. Sing this song with all you got. Amen. As you stand.